You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, February 22nd. And Detroit basketball returns tonight. Maybe we'll even get the double Mason on Monday. And now as you listen to the recording interview we did with him this week, we'll have our own little soundbite of Detroit basketball for Mason. I got that all cut up and ready to go in case the Pistons need a double Mason or at least maybe a single Mason after this weekend down south. But this is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. It's time to start the post-All-Star break portion of the schedule, and I'm excited to share this time with you for about 20, 30 minutes a day here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. We're going to start off talking hoops, finally. It's been so long. We're going to preview the Hawks tonight and the Heat on Saturday night. I have some thoughts from Chauncey Billups also, especially one that he had that had me kind of revisiting a Pistons thought that I hadn't really thought about over the years, and maybe you guys have thought about this particular hypothetical in the past, but I heard Chauncey on the Ryan Russillo podcast this week recommend it and that you guys should check it out too. We're also going to go back to the Reddit mailbag. We got all sorts of questions to tackle, and we'll knock out one or two of those at the end of the show as well. Give me a follow, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook as well. But the Pistons back in action after about a nine-day layoff tonight in Atlanta to take on the Hawks, and then the second half of a back-to-back on Saturday night against the Miami Heat. Tonight's game is 7:30 in Atlanta, so a little bit later, half hour or so later than we're used to with the Detroit starts here in the Motor City. But the Hawks playing better overall than one might have expected for this team this season. New coach Lloyd Pierce on the sidelines there for the Atlanta Hawks. But still, you know, eight games out of the playoffs, basically no path for them to make the playoffs in any kind of realistic way the rest of the season. But also on the flip side, not really much in terms of hope for getting into the top group of nobodies, the tankers, the tank specialists that we got in Phoenix and Cleveland and Chicago and the fourth team. Who is that fourth team? In the New York Knicks, the dregs of the NBA, as we know. So then you got Atlanta after that, kind of solidly fifth on that lottery standings right now, well behind the top four. But still, when you're sitting at fifth, you got a 10.5% chance at the first pick of the draft, presumably Zion Williamson, once he gets his own shoe deal taken care of. Yuck, yuck, yuck. But 42% of a top four pick chance when you're sitting at five. So kind of a nice blueprint year for them, really, as they're kind of getting a couple, getting some victories, and some guys are playing pretty well, but also still some good lottery chances. And 3.5 games behind Memphis in the standings, so I guess ahead of them in the lottery standings, if you will. So some wiggle room on both ways. They win a few games, they lose a few games. It won't matter that much unless someone really tanks or someone comes back to the non-tank water level, I guess, if you're talking about those four losers there throughout the league too. But, I mean, not get it twisted. They've been playing maybe a little bit better than expectations in Atlanta, but they're still very bad. Don't get us wrong. But, like I said, also giving some fans some hope in a good way for the future when you got a point guard in Trae Young, a talented multi-dimensional player in John Collins, who's a very good athletic player, as we know, and then Kevin Huerter off the bench, the rookie there who can shoot it from Maryland. The Hawks lost 4 out of 5 before the break, so not playing so well, including a drilling in the last game before the break from the Knicks, which tankathon type of game there. But, you know, they got some veterans out there. Dwayne Dedmon's playing well lately. Torian Prince, Kent Bazemore. A little bit surprised that they didn't maybe more actively sell at the deadline with one, two, or maybe all three of those guys, but maybe the market just wasn't there. And, you know, you need some veterans kind of going forward to sprinkle in with the young guys as well. Set the tone and also maybe become, you know, what's it called? A respectable NBA team. You want to be that throughout the 82 games for your paying customers as well. But Dedmon, particularly playing well lately, a guy that I've always liked in terms of a depth big man for them. But he's a starter for them, of course. But, you know, for other teams, he could be a guy who's a depth big man and maybe even a starter if you put some really good other starters in your playing group rotation around him, but not seriously a guy, a building block, not a guy you want to build your franchise around, obviously. But the Pistons, 3.5-point favorites on the road, a pretty unusual thing. You expect the Pistons to take care of business in this one, but we know that that is not always the case. The Atlanta Hawks came to Detroit and knocked off the Pistons on a Sunday afternoon earlier this season while I was checking out the Lions for most of that one. But the report from Thursday night is that Miles Plumlee will not play, and Kevin Huerter is actually doubtful, meaning the Pistons, on the other hand, have no one listed on the injury report for them right now. Plumlee hasn't played since the turn of the calendar in January, but Huerter, a rookie from Maryland, has been playing well lately, knocking down some three-pointers. So if he is indeed out, that would certainly help the Pistons' chances of getting the win in Atlanta tonight. Looking forward to seeing how this one shakes out. But up next, we're going to talk about the Miami Heat game on Saturday, a new biggest game of the season. We do that all the time here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. No different on Saturday night in South Florida. But we're also going to talk about some things that Chauncey Billups had to say on the Ryan Russillo podcast. Recommend you guys check it out. But one thing in particular made me kind of rethinking my thoughts of some of the Pistons past, including the 2004 championship team. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play Locked On to play podcast Locked On Pistons. The newest episode will pop up for you there in your feed. Please do that on your commute. We appreciate the new way we're trying to reach you guys as listeners is in your ride, because you're a captive audience there. You can tell the kids in the backseat to quiet down. I'm listening to Matt on the Locked On Pistons podcast. So again, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. And we also have an important favor to ask you. We would like your help. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcasts even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete. And by participating, you enter the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit lockedonpodcast.com/survey to participate. Again, that's lockedonpodcast.com/survey, and we appreciate your feedback.
Yes, sir!
Yes, and a little bit later on, we're going to drag this thing out and open up the Pistons mailbag a little bit from Reddit. Check it out on the Pistons subreddit. I opened up a discussion there and a bunch of great questions, and we'll get to those over the next week or so. Chopping up one or two a day, and we'll see how much time we have for this one later on. You know, I get a little long-winded sometimes, but we're going to talk about the Miami game now. Saturday night, the Pistons will be in South Florida taking on the Miami Heat at the American Airlines Center or American Airlines Arena, one of those two. I get it mixed up with Dallas. But interesting about that Dirk Dwayne Wade finals. That's the memory from Dwayne getting all those foul calls and getting the NBA MVP or the finals MVP in that series. The American Airlines Center versus the American Airlines Arena. Those were the matchups in that one. One of my favorite NBA factoids. But Goran Dragic and Jeremy Jones Jr. were supposed to come back on Thursday for Miami in that game at Philadelphia. Jeremy Jones Jr. did come back from injury and played off the bench. But more importantly for the Heat, Goran Dragic did not come back, although he was reported to be coming back from an injury that he's been out for a while. So it will be interesting to see whether he comes back on Saturday night or not. And, of course, we know the neck-and-neck situation with the Heat and the Pistons. So this is officially the new game of the year for the Detroit Pistons until the next game of the year for the Detroit Pistons. It is the reddest of red-letter games. I talk about those games with other Eastern Conference playoff fringe contenders. The Pistons right now are 6-7 in those games, so need to win this one to get back up to 500. I feel like if they're going to be over 500 in those games, they're basically going to be in the playoffs. If they stick to just under 500, it's going to be a roll of the dice for them to make the playoffs. And if they stay at those the level that they're at right now in these red letter games, so we will see how that shakes out. The Heat have lost 7 of 9, losing 6 of 8 before the break, and then losing at Philadelphia in a close one on Thursday night. Brooklyn lost 2, by the way, on Thursday. So the Pistons now alone in 8th in the Eastern Conference playoffs. In the playoffs as we speak. Late on Thursday night, a half game out of the 7th spot behind Charlotte and 2 games behind Brooklyn for the 6th spot in the Eastern Conference, and just 1 half game clear of both Orlando and Miami. Those two teams are tied for 9th on the heels of the Pistons. So Makes every game important, as we know, especially these games like tonight against the Atlanta Hawks that the Pistons need to take care of business. Dragic inactive on Thursday nights after reports that he would be returning, and we'll see on Saturday how that shakes out. The teams will play again 19 days later in Miami, the Pistons and the Heat. The Pistons have lost three straight games in South Florida and 11 out of 14 of their last games in Miami. So you got to get one of these two of these games we're talking about in American Airlines, either Saturday or on March 13th, which is coming up very soon. A game that I believe will be the next watch party for the Motor City Casino. I plan to be out there for that one. I'm excited for that too. But I want to transition into Chauncey Billups a little bit. We know we like to talk about the glory days as much as possible with this team that's confounding and a bit of a puzzle for us these days. So sometimes it's fun to go talk about the bad boys or the going to work era. But I heard a podcast on the Ryan Russillo podcast on ESPN with Chauncey Billups. And as we know, an ESPN commentator and does a good job as an analyst for the worldwide leader. But Billups was on the podcast on Wednesday. And I wanted to point it out to you, and I thought it was worth a listen, but some interesting notes that I made from it. Tidbits from Chauncey. He talked quite a bit about Larry Brown, but something very interesting later on that we'll get to in a minute here. But first, he said that he would be a lot better in today's game, you know, as a scoring, a three-point shooting point guard, running up and down, running pick and rolls, reading defenses, and making the smart and aggressive play there. Quote, to quote Chauncey, it would have been a lot of fun, end quote there. But he also talked about how Larry Brown hated three-point shots and that he really butted heads with the Hall of Fame coach, especially early on in his tenure. Chauncey said that we battled and I lost a lot of sleep playing for Larry, end quote. But then when he got to know him, quote, now I would jump off a bridge for Larry, end quote. Now hopefully Larry doesn't ask Chauncey to jump off a bridge. That would seem a little obtuse, and hopefully as Pistons fans we don't have to hear about a report like that. That seems like that would be very sad and really kind of a questionable thing for Larry to ask Chauncey to do. But we'll see how that shakes out, the bridge situation. But a lot of tough love there between Chauncey and Brown, who was a point guard himself in his playing days, notoriously tough on his lead guards and point guards throughout his entire coaching career. But Larry, a story about Larry Brown that Chauncey tells on the podcast, and I'll kind of break down the details of Chauncey's version. He says in 2003-2004, Larry's first season with the Pistons, Larry Brown takes over the team, and they go on a West Coast trip, the fourth game of the season coaching the Pistons. Chauncey actually said it was an East Coast trip. Excuse me, never mind. A West Coast trip, kind of in his version there. Fourth game of his coaching of tenure with the Pistons against the Clippers at Staples Center. As Chauncey recalls it, he had 29 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds in just 2 turnovers in the game. And he, quote, basically hit the shot to win the game, whatever that means. I don't know what a basically hitting the shot to win the game is. Maybe like the late shot with a minute left to close the win, seal the deal, obviously, end quote there. But and the team is running through the tunnel celebrating, and he looks back, and Larry is shaking his head in disgust. Later on, Chauncey says, dude looks me in the eye, disgusted, and says, quote, you have no idea how to play this position for me, end quote. And here's Chauncey thinking he played amazing and thought, this shit ain't going to work, is what Larry said, or Chauncey said to himself after that. But then would later detail how they would grow and bond as player, coach, point guard relationship going forward. A good story from Chauncey, an insightful story, but guess what? It didn't happen. Not nearly like that anyways. I went back and checked the receipts, the specifics on it. The 2003-04 season that Larry took over, the Pistons did not play the Clippers in Staples until February 29th. Obviously not the fourth game of the season there. They did win that one specifically against the Clippers at Staples on leap year, or leap day, I guess. 28 points and 7 assists, so really good stat line for Chauncey. But, you know, thinking Staples Center, maybe he confused it with the LA Lakers. Well, they did play at Staples against the Lakers early on in the season. That was the 9th game of the season, not the 4th game of the season. Chauncey did have a good game, 29 points, so that's didn't nearly have the other rebounding and assist numbers that Chauncey recalled. But I don't really see that that's the game he's talking about, because the Pistons lost that game by 5. So maybe if Larry had some complaints about Chauncey in that one, maybe they were well-founded. So maybe, and again, I'm thinking out loud as I'm going through the basketball reference of that season. The Pistons had their second and third games of the season in Florida, although the other games of their first 6 or 7 were all at the Palace of Auburn Hills. The Pistons beat Miami in Game 2 by 12 points and Chauncey had 27 there. And, you know, maybe you kind of get Staples in L.A. twisted with Miami and the heat and then the atmosphere and the weather down there. I guess you could, I could see that happening, a second game of the season as opposed to the fourth game of the season. Maybe that's what he was thinking. The third game of the year right after that was in Orlando. They won by 11, but Chauncey had 17 in that one. I wouldn't think that that would be the game he's talking about. Again, I looked up, I searched further into that Miami game as far as him hitting, you know, a game-winning type of shot. And in game two of the season, he didn't really score in the final 6.5 minutes of that game. So that doesn't make sense at all either. Again, I'm not calling Chauncey Billups a liar, but he's obviously misremembering the exact specifics of the situation. And I know we all know that the mind is a funny thing. I mean, the dude played 16 seasons as a great NBA player, over 1,000 regular season games in his NBA career. And sometimes you just kind of remember the broad strokes of scenarios, the feelings that are associated with things like that, and not necessarily the specifics. And, you know, Staples Center maybe is a little bit better of a story. And maybe that is the way Chauncey remembers it. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all misremember things from our past. And but I'd be interested to know what Chauncey had to say if kind of the receipts were shown to him that that didn't happen quite the way he remembered it. And I wonder what the exact situation was, and maybe Larry would know as well too. But Chauncey went on to say that he knew right away that it wouldn't work for Larry Brown with Team USA, that he knew he'd rub people the wrong way. You need a full season to understand what's up with playing for Larry Brown as opposed to the few weeks that an Olympic experience would afford. And he was right in that case. The bronze medal winning team, and I guess winning is probably the wrong word, with a USA basketball team going to Athens, Greece in 2004 and taking just a bronze medal. Getting smoked by Carlos Arroyo in Puerto Rico in the opening game of those Olympics. Almost lost to Greece in game two. Also lost to Lithuania in group play. Went 3-2 in group play. Took care of Spain in the quarterfinals, but lost to Argentina. The golden era of Argentinian basketball with Manu Ginobili and all those guys that had great careers there for the Argentines. Luis Scola was another player on that team. And Carlos Delfino, of course, another former Piston there, was a member of that group. And Andreas Nocioni, as I'm coming up with the names off the top of my head here. But I saw those guys, and particularly Manu Ginobili, play his final Olympic game when I was in Rio in 2016, the golden generation for the Argentinian team. And by the way, the U.S. did regroup from the Argentina loss in the semifinals, beating Lithuania in the rematch to take bronze. So Larry Brown, as a head coach of Team USA, gets the bronze medal in 2004. Chauncey went on to talk about how Rashid bowed to Larry like he was Dean Smith, and that how the Pistons were willing participants in playing for Larry Brown and all the things that that entailed. And that's the reason that things worked out for that group. Something that was interesting to me that Chauncey also brought up, Ryan Russillo asked Chauncey not only about Larry Brown, but also about Rick Carlisle. Chauncey played his first season for Rick in Detroit only 1 year before he was unceremoniously let go by Bill Davidson and Joe Dumars and company. But Chauncey sounds like he really respects Coach Carlisle, obviously, but said that they were very different when compared to Larry Brown, even though they both kind of had controlling offensive styles and defensive demands as well. Chauncey said that Rick ran 30-minute practices to save your legs, whereas Larry Brown practiced all day. He said training camp was all year, to quote Chauncey Billups. And Larry enjoyed that even more than the games and got players to buy into that too, competed hard at practice, making the games a lot easier than even practice. But, you know, Chauncey went on to bring up that with Carlisle and how maybe if Sheed was brought in and Carlisle was kept, quoting Chauncey, "Do I think we would have won it? Yeah, I think we do. I think that Rick was that great of a coach," end quote. Went on to praise Flip Saunders as well, saying that they had three great coaches in a four-year run, and they all went to the East Finals, at least under all those guys. But it was an interesting thought process of me as I was thinking about that. Would the Pistons have won that title in 2004 or maybe a later title with that group if Rick Carlisle would have stayed on board? I mean, we know that the narrative was, and no offense to Rick Carlisle, but that Larry Brown came in with the pedigree and the experience and the respect from all the players, the quote, "play the right way" that we all remember. But I never thought about that. Would it have taken longer? Would it have ever happened at all? It's an interesting thing to think about. But we know that Coach Carlisle went on and got his ring with the Dallas Mavericks later against LeBron James and the Heat. And who was on the bench next to him there as assistant coach? First-year Pistons coach Dwayne Casey. So it all ties together here on the Locked On Pistons podcast as we talk about some great times in Pistons lore. But make sure to check out that Ryan Russillo podcast with Chauncey Billups, a great listen for Pistons fans, as we're always searching for ways to connect with those old teams. But some interesting things that he brought up in that interview. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company can be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Up next, we're going to open up the Pistons mailbag from Reddit. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, let's hit that Pistons Reddit mailbag. I started a thread in the Pistons subreddit, and a lot of you guys came through with some great questions. And we'll start with the top with username The 69ers. The 69ers, that must be a reference to maybe the 76ers G League team or something like that. I kid, of course. Love the Reddit usernames. The 69ers comes through with the great question. To start us off with, what better way to start the segment that we're going to have here reoccurring over the next week or so, maybe even longer. But the 69ers asks, who do you believe has the highest development potential between Thon Maker, Bruce Brown, Kyrie Thomas, and Sfi Mikhailiuk? Bonus, would love a quick note on all four. Well, let's start with that note on all four. And first off, as I've talked about on this show, I like how hard all four of these guys compete. Kudos to the front office for coming in and having most of their pickups that they've made since taking over. This roster has been guys like this. It's been Detroit Pistons types of players. I think it's a good sign for the blueprint that they have for the types of athletes that they're looking for. And I guess kind of incomplete on that end as far as how he competes for Sfi. We'll only see him in a couple games, obviously. But I do love a confident gunner that comes in and throws it up. His stroke looks great. Has the makings of what could be a very nice shooter in this league. And we all know that all these guys have their strengths and deficiencies as well. Bruce Brown, he can drive and play make on offense. He can handle the ball, but he can't shoot at all. Kyrie Thomas, he shoots it better. Too many turnovers on the offensive end and a little bit less assertive on offense than Bruce Brown. Both of those guys are plus defenders in early stages of their career and should develop on that end over time and maybe possibly become very, very good defenders, possibly even great defenders in the perimeter for this league. For Thon, I love the way he competes. He causes havoc, and I'm not sure he knows what he's doing defensively, but he's aggressive about it, which is half the battle, especially for a young player. Defensively, you always want to see players make their mistakes decisively, and he does that. He's decent protecting the rim. He had the nice block on Bobby Portis for the dunk the other day for Washington. Can't rebound right now, has bad hands. We know about all that too. But Sfi Mikhailiuk is a shooter who needs to develop the rest of his offensive game. Decent athlete defensively, but certainly a guy with a pretty low ceiling on defense and not anything near a plus defender as we speak about him in his rookie season. Now, who do I project as the highest developmental potential? Well, since you're asking about potential, I'm going to go with Thon Maker. Look, there's a reason that he was the 10th pick of his draft and a reason that these other guys are second-round guys. Thon is 7'1". He shows some potential as a shooter, has great length and energy, and some toughness as well. He has some makings of a modern NBA player with his skills and toolbox that he has. Already checks a lot of the boxes that you want to see out of a young NBA player. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious to me that my answer out of the guys of those four who has the most potential, I think that it's Thon Maker. Now, separate from what that question is, my question kind of naturally would be, who do I think is going to be the best player out of those four? Not necessarily ceiling, because there's no guarantee that Thon Maker or any of these guys are going to hit a ceiling. But who's going to be the best player if you had to ask me that question right now? I'm going to go with Bruce Brown. And only because I still believe in the Bruce Brown as a point guard scenario kind of going forward with this team. I think the Pistons have a unique opportunity to put a plus defender out there at the point guard position, a bigger point guard, and he would really give matchup problems to smaller point guards out there. I'm not saying that Bruce Brown should be a full-time point guard, although maybe that is an option down the road, but that's certainly a part of his game that they should be exploring going forward. And we talked about how maybe they're missing an opportunity with him not doing that in Grand Rapids for more of this season, which is what we're, you know, we're looking at kind of a lost season here. I said coming into the year that I thought Khyree Thomas was a guy that's going to get more minutes than Bruce Brown as a rookie because he's got more NBA-ready skills, and Bruce Brown, with his offensive and shooting problems right now, has more issues that need to get ironed out in a G League situation. Well, for whatever reason, Dwayne Casey saw what he liked in a training camp in early season, maybe Summer League 2, with Bruce Brown as far as the competitiveness and readiness to step on an NBA court and be an effective player right away. But again, that might be a decision that we look back on as the wrong one going forward. And while maybe Khyree Thomas could have maybe not delivered as well as Bruce Brown has so far in their rookie seasons with big minutes and starting sometimes on the wing for the Pistons, maybe that development that Bruce Brown could have gotten in Grand Rapids could have paid off in the long run even better than him being out there on the NBA floor, because we're not seeing a lot of growth and improvement night in and night out from Bruce Brown, especially on the offensive end. Now, we've been watching these Pistons being taken to school by the bigger point guards in the NBA for many years. Eric Bledsoe's, Russell Westbrook when they play against them, Ben Simmons, quite famously with the Philadelphia 76ers. This is a prototype of a big point guards, and Bruce Brown can be that mismatch for the Pistons, or at least counter some of those bigger point guards going forward. If he can learn how to run the offense, ignite a little bit of a pick and roll with Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin, become something like, I don't know, like a wishful thinking 30 to 32% shooter in the next year or so, and then maybe even ratchet that up in his career going forward, you know, something competent like that, that would be a big plus for the Pistons, especially if you throw in his defensive potential to be a very plus-plus defender for the Pistons. But I do just like how he came in. He started opening night, his first NBA game, and wasn't a guy who was phased, who was bothered by the moment. He's a cool dude. The moment isn't too big for him in the NBA. And he can, shows he belongs, especially on the defensive end, and isn't as sore of a spot on the team. And I know there's spacing issues, there's shooting issues. That's completely obvious to anyone who watches the game. But otherwise, offensively, as a guy who shows he belongs, other than that hugely important area of three-point shooting. So like I said, Thon's got the higher ceiling, but I think Bruce Brown, if you had to put me down for one of those four guys as being the best NBA player, I'm going to put Bruce Brown as the number one that guy on that list. So shouts to the 69ers for the question. Love the Reddit username there. But go ahead, all you other guys, get on that thread. Send along your questions in the Pistons subreddit. I will get to yours, get to all those other ones on there too. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked on Pistons. They'll get the newest episode up, fired up for you as you work on your commute as well. And hey, we're excited to watch finally some NBA basketball involving the Pistons tonight and Saturday night, Atlanta and Miami. Looking forward to breaking down those games with you guys on Monday as we look ahead to the March portion of the calendar. Yes, that's right, March. Maybe some better weather ahead for us here in Southeast Michigan and the city of Detroit. Looking forward to seeing what comes out of these last 26 games for the Detroit Pistons. Will they be able to make the playoffs? What kind of things are we going to be talking about this spring? We will see and we will find out together. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. Thanks for a great week despite the All-Star break. A great month, record-setting numbers already for a month, despite the fact that February is short and it's not even three-fourths of the way over yet, or I guess it's about three-fourths of the way. But a lot more action for you guys in February. Looking forward to a great spring as well. But this is Matt Shook saying thanks, guys, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone.